Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, February the 5th, 36th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, jail escapee. Does that work for you?
No.
No. Jail coordinator? No. Okay. What's your real title? You still kind of described yourself as an escapee, sort of.
Well, I did.
You're out of the building. Yes.
I escaped today. No, I'm Sergeant Lisa Christensen from the Humboldt County Correctional Facility.
From the correctional facility.
Mm-hmm.
Not recently departed from the correctional facility.
No, I'm still working in the jail. Escape for an hour.
Yeah. You've got that big bungee cord that's going to bring you right back. Okay.
Exactly.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little time talking about some of the programs that are going on as folks leave the jail and hopefully assimilate properly, correctly, and without a wave into the community. I'm sure there's all kinds of things that Lisa's either put into place, would like to see, or at least she'll be able to defend when I have the weird questions coming up, and we'll see how weird they are when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lisa Christensen. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Henry David Thoreau, sometime between 1817 and 1862, said, quote, "Distrust any enterprise that requires new clothes." As you have your fancy uniform on there. What is the biggest misnomer that the community has about the jail?
Well, I believe that the community thinks that the jail makes the policies on a lot of the releases and the things that we do, when actually it's the state and the laws.
Some of the stuff coming back from mm-hmm. Father Freed?
Well, no.
Predating that?
No, AB 109 and Prop 47 are state laws. So it dictates how we release people and some of the decisions we make. And people, I think, believe we actually, the department, makes those decisions, and we don't.
Rather than just executing the plan, so to speak.
Exactly.
For that majority of our audience that's never been inside the jail professionally,
yeah.
What's it like?
Well, I started in the old jail in 1995. It was like you see in the movies, the big Folgers keys and the bars and cages. And
flooded toilets.
Flooded toilets. I was fortunate. I came in after the fires, a lot of the fires and the smoking. But we were very reactive, and the inmates, basically, we'd walk by every 30 minutes, and then every 29 minutes they were to themselves to do whatever they want, and then we had a lot of assaults and suicides and a lot of issues. So when we built the new facility, direct supervision, the construction, it's a philosophy, it's a buy-in from your administration. Basically, now we place our officers inside the housing units with 64 to 72 inmates. No barriers, no cages, nothing. So
no gun.
Nope. Just your verbal communication and your confidence and your ability to speak to people. And you really got to be confident, but if you go in there too cocky or arrogant, you're going to have issues.
So as the law changed and then the population began to change because of that, with the push out from the state, and you're getting more of the nasties in the jail, I would imagine for the staff, that caused a little bit of a concern also.
Well, when AB 109 was enacted, our population exploded. We couldn't house the inmates. We had to have a matrix to release people back into the community because we couldn't house them. So we were having an issue housing and keeping people in custody. When Proposition 47 came into play, and that was voted in from the public, reduced 9 felonies to misdemeanors. And so instead of people coming to jail for such offenses, they get tickets. And so our, and also the people who are in custody on those charges go back to court, and they've been releasing them pretty quickly. So our population has been manageable lately.
But the caliber of the individuals who are in, different breed of cat, isn't it?
Yes, normally those individuals would return back to state prison, and they stay in our custody for long periods of time. So our jail wasn't designed to hold people longer than a year, 2 years, three tops when they're going through their court cases, and that's not many of them. But they're staying in custody now, and we're getting more and more serious violent crimes, and people are going through their court cases, and it takes a long time. So, yeah, we weren't designed for that. So now we're starting to look at a different way, a different approach. It's actually at the national and state level, and now it's trickling down to the counties, which is called reentry programs.
When that population is there and your folks are intermingling with them, mm-hmm. have there been any more incidents, or is it kind of the same old, whether it's a misdemeanor offender or a felon?
When you talk about incidents, what do you mean? Like inside the facility?
Yeah, when you're swimming with the fish.
Uh-huh. You know, it's a behavior-based facility, so we have the three large dormitories that have 64 to 72, but we have a max unit, two SHU units. We have areas we can put people who, what we call, are not the general pop, that are behavioral issues. So they'll go to our max or SHU unit until they can, you know, figure out that when they go with the rules and they can get along and they can go back to the dorms. And they want to go to the dorms because they can use the phones more, they can shower more, they can socialize. It's a socializing kind of setup. And they can play cards, they can watch TV. And a lot of people who tour our facility, they are like, this is too nice. This is too nice for being a jail. And, you know, we tell them, but it's a whole new way of thinking about jail, and it's nice for the officers. I mean, we're now going to get into these reentry programs where people are going to be getting, you know, therapy. They're going to be getting vocational and educational training. You know, we're trying to make people better before they go back into the community. And in other counties and states, it's proven to work. So these are what they call evidence-based programs that have been proven to work. Maybe not for a large scale, but at least we can get a hold of some people and hopefully get them the things they need, their basic needs, so that they can at least have a decent start.
Now, this was what was being done at the state and the federal prisons, right, that
yes.
had all the jokes about it? Is it because the individuals that you're working with are still early enough in the process where they're salvageable? I hate to use that word, but where you can work with them and there can be a change in their outcome rather than the hardened career, you know, if somebody's been a serial murderer kind of thing, okay.
There's a place for this.
Yeah.
No, there's low risk and there's high risk, and you assess each person individually and you decide, you know, what are the things that they need. Now, somebody who's a high risk, you're going to have to talk about cognitive therapy, moral recognition training, the way they think. They think differently, you know, and it comes from childhood early up. So if they're low risk, what are their basic needs? Many of the people I talk to, they're homeless. They don't have an ID. They don't have a birth certificate, a Social Security card. They don't have the basic needs to even go get a job or get what they need. So
for some of those, it's kind of low-hanging fruit to be able to start
exactly.
turning them around.
And so, you know, transitional housing is huge. We need that. We need to get people some of the basic needs.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Lisa Christensen from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Lisa, this concept of the reentry program and recidivism, I'm sure, is part of that also, how you set things up how you want things set up. How difficult is it to have badges working kind of social program stuff?
Well, it's a new concept.
Because you probably didn't go to that part of the campus when you were going through cop school. Is it easy for you to grasp some of what these programs are? Are they very complicated to be able to then start to design a structure to implement?
You know, starting in the old jail, you saw the differences, and then starting the new jail. That was a new concept for the officers that came from that jail. Wait a second, I have to be reactive, and now you're going to put me in a dormitory with these individuals? The ones that, you know, we used to, you know, have to deal with them hands-on, and so it was a new concept.
Folks is a safe term to use.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but we were able to transition, and we were able to get staff to buy into programs, just in-house programs, as far as, like I said, anything to keep people busy within in their dormitories. And it does work. And so now we're going to the next level, which are, like I said, these reentry programs, vocational, educational, anything that can help somebody, transitional housing, anything that can help people get to where they need to be. So, yeah, it is a new mindset for people, and it's going to be hard for a lot of people to transition, and it takes work and dedication, but what we're doing now isn't working. And I'm not talking about us now as Humboldt County. I'm talking about the state of California and how we deal with corrections.
In looking at the various populations or subpopulations inside the jail, I would think that it's kind of tough to figure out some of them. In others, it's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if somebody doesn't have a GED...
Exactly.
Okay, then that's probably a fairly simple one to start getting positive reinforcement and getting things rolling in that.
Well, actually, we have CR coming in now, and they're doing GED preparation classes. And then after they complete their GED, CR's willing to help those individuals who put in the effort to get financial aid to go to school. So,
can they do that while incarcerated, or is that post?
No, we're trying to make it happen now. And as soon as we can get an individual, you know, ready for the GED, we can actually have them take their GED exam and then get their financial aid. And as soon as they're released, because we know when they're getting released, most individuals, they can transition right out and start at CR.
Can they take some of the classes at Redwoods while they're still inside the facility?
Well, the ones...
Some of the distance learning stuff?
Well, just the ones that we supply right now, or the ones that CR supplies. And right now, we're right at the beginning phases, and these are just GED preparation classes.
What percentage of the population qualifies for that?
Well, the classes, we have about 15 to 20 people in each class, and it's 3 days a week right now. So then we have this other class one of our clinicians, our mental health clinicians, she puts on. It's Seeking Safeties. It's for our female population, and basically it's a group counseling session, and it helps them to deal with their trauma and their substance abuse and what causes it. And it's been very successful, and the female population has really enjoyed it.
Now, I understand from some of the badges who have been in periodically over the last years is that the female population has changed significantly over the last 15, well, we can use your 20-year window. It's a different, much more aggressive, typically, in that mix. So are they hardened to that kind of counseling? Or is this an opportunity, first opportunity perhaps, to be able to start to deal with whatever their demons are?
It's an individual basis. I've seen people who come in first time, 10th time, and it doesn't affect them. Like, it doesn't matter that they come to jail. They're pretty comfortable coming to jail. I've seen that. And then I've seen people who've come in and they said, you know, I'm done. I'm 35, 40 years old. I've spent my last 20 years coming into this facility. I'm ready to change. And sometimes it's unfortunate, you know, that the crimes they've committed, they may not get that opportunity again, or they may, but at least we're helping prepare them if they do get that opportunity to be released, you know, to help them deal with the issues. And I was talking to a mental health clinician today, and we were talking about how a lot of the ways that the female population are dealing with their issues, it's from trauma as a child. And they use a lot of substance abuse and abusive behavior to basically mask their feelings of the things that they've dealt with.
Or protecting the little girl.
Yes, exactly. And it's really sad when you get to the bare bones of it.
So as those folks start working through, and I would imagine if you're going to the counseling doesn't mean you can't do the CR.
Exactly.
You can work those. Mm-hmm. What are there other programs that are also available?
We have NAAA, church ministry. Those are the basic ones we've had for a very long time. We're just trying to introduce as many as we possibly can.
What percent take advantage of that opportunity?
It's normally a smaller percentage. Sometimes people are coming in and they're just trying to deal with their case. So adding other stresses or trying to think about those items. It takes a little while for people to adjust to coming to jail, especially if it's their first time. So normally it's after we get somebody in custody for a while. Maybe if they have mental health issues, we get them right on their right medications. They've cleaned up. And they're
kind of like a public guardian almost.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, well, I understand where I'm going. I understand my sentence. And so now I'm ready to start improving my lifestyle.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Sergeant Lisa Christensen out of the Humboldt County Jail. Not paroled, she works there. Lisa, looking at these various programs that are available, what percent of those folks that are transitioning from jail out into, I guess, the normal world, mm-hmm. it's kind of in quotes too, need a change of surroundings? It's always been curious to me that folks get released in the community where they came from, into the culture that they came from, and somehow they're supposed to change. That's got to be tough to do.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have enough industry for the people in Humboldt County that have never been in custody. So I see that as a huge issue for us. I mean, we're trying to help people, get them on the right track, but we're no longer blue-collar community. You know, it's
you're pulling green chain.
Yeah, those jobs aren't readily available anymore. So those basic jobs that a lot of people used to have, we just don't have that. So, you know, it'd be nice to have people invest in our community and bring back some jobs that people could actually do. But it seems, unfortunately, these days that you have to have a college degree to have any sort of real employment.
Or legalization.
And
wouldn't that, isn't that a weird irony?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. For the folks who are not of this area, is there an opportunity when they come out to get cleaned up and then to go on to somewhere where there is employment? We were reading something, I think Angie had something on the counter last night. North Dakota, unemployment's like 3%. Minnesota unemployment is like 3.5%. Nebraska is like at 3.1%. And there are places that need folks. So if your population is spinning out and they're retrained and now they've got the basic educational backgrounds, or if they had those before, they're cleaned up and ready to go, how do they get from here to those jobs? Is that part of this continuum that the state is looking at? Because I can't imagine, even on his goofiest day, that the governor would say, and here's $300 to get you out of my state.
Well, actually, I can answer that. Well, with Prop 47, a lot of people who are on probation, who are on felony probation, are now going to summary probation. So they're no longer having to be supervised because now that it's become a misdemeanor. So some of that's changed.
Are they able to leave the area?
Well, I think it depends on the probation, each person's probation. But, you know, I just visited Marin County, and they were actually telling me, because I was looking at their reentry program, and they were telling me, you know, if I go and talk to somebody who's in the facility and they're done with their time, there's no more probation, and they want to go see their mom in Texas, that's where they want to go, they'll buy them a ticket and send them to Texas.
Now, what if mom is in New York and they want to go to Texas?
they're leaving the state of California.
No family.
I can't answer for Marin County. That's what they told me. They said,
because I would think that'd be dandy. I mean, if you could develop a pipeline for jobs.
Yeah, I'm sure Texas wouldn't be happy if we were sending all of our clients.
Well, but if they were, if they actually had family there, yeah, and if they needed a labor force,
and they need the labor force,
that sounds like a win.
Yeah,
for everybody, rather than having folks dumped onto the streets in Humboldt County and not having anything to do, fall back into the old habits, and now you got a frequent flyer.
Well, it's a complete different concept than what we're used to, and it's just like, you know, I've been talking to some people who have been sentenced and they're due to be released, and asking them, you know, what is your plan when you leave here? They rarely have somebody talking to them, especially somebody in uniform, asking them, what is your plan when you leave here? And if they say, well, I have nowhere to go, I'm homeless, well, we're trying to find transitional housing. We're talking to, you know, different groups and organizations for transitional housing, or, you know, getting bus tickets for people who live maybe further than just Eureka, or just trying to get
all the way to Arcata.
Just trying to get people where they need to be, and so that they don't just walk out of the jail with their little bag and say, "Huh, no money, nowhere to go." We're trying to solve that problem, basically working as a group effort to make that one step or two steps to help people.
Kind of like college counseling,
sort of, if you will.
What are your skill sets? Do you do the profiles and find out what their strengths are and what their abilities may be?
Well, this is what the reentry program will be if we can actually get it going. It's basically, the officers would arrest people, bring them to jail. Correctional officers would make sure that they're safe and secure and keep them from the community. And then you'd send them off to social services, and they would do the reentry program. We skip the step of law enforcement and corrections. And once you bring in everybody, it's a full spectrum. You know, I can identify certain people who've got high recidivism rate, and I know people who it's first time. So directing those people, because I deal with them all the time, maybe we can direct them in the right direction, who and where and who to talk to, and work with mental health, work with Department of Health and Human Services.
That's what I was going to ask, but since you've already knocked that one down, I'll have to fall back and come up with a more penetrating question. KINS, News and Information Times, 340. We'll be back with more from Lisa Christensen.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lisa Christensen. So, Lisa, where are the caseworkers, the folks that work with these folks if they're not incarcerated or when they weren't incarcerated? Do they keep tabs on them? Are you guys working hand-in-hand with this as an approach? Is this the Sheriff's Department kind of out there on their own?
Well, we're just getting the ball rolling. I mean, we've been working on this for about a year, but you're talking about a lot of people who come together and they talk. Well, you know, we're trying to make things happen. And so once we can get everything written and get the go-ahead from the sheriff, and hopefully we can get this group back together and say, hey, we need case managers. We need some of the AB 109 funds so that we can get these programs going, get the training going, and follow what a lot of the other counties are doing.
Well, and I would think drug use, there's a whole bunch of different levels of why in there. I can't imagine inside of a jail facility that you can clean up all of those reasons why. I mean, you can get the physical or the biological dependence cleaned up, but the other underlying reasons why they started, it's not that. Are you seeing a need to have more mental health professionals as part of the Sheriff's Department to help execute this plan properly?
It would be nice. I mean, it would be nice to have more mental health, more Department of Health and Human Services social worker type individuals to help with case management. Really, we do. The jail is inundated with a lot of mental health issues, and the more we had, the more effective we probably would be.
What was the biggest impression you got from Marin when you were down there looking at their program?
Well, it's a lot like our administration. There's a lot of buy-in and a lot of support. I think their administration is really big on it. They're very innovative, and they're just going for it and doing whatever they can to, seems like, be ahead of the game. But I see our department following suit.
Is that population similar to the Humboldt County population as far as some of the ills that they deal with in the jail?
Well, their jail population is actually less than ours.
But the heavy drug use, the meth, that kind of stuff, is that as prevalent?
Well, Marin County is a larger county, I believe. But I'm sure they have the same issues. Driving down there, I didn't see as many standing next to the jail.
Yeah, when I think of Sebastopol and Corte Madera, I'm not thinking what I see in Eureka.
Yeah, exactly. So all I can say is that I know that we are trying. We are really trying to be innovative and get ahead of the game, just like some of the other counties.
So when does this roll out?
Well, hopefully we can get it all written out and ready to be looked at. And we have to have, of course, supports from our staff and or from our administration, which I believe we do. And
are you thinking fiscal in this upcoming fiscal year? By July 1st, there might be something in place?
That would be wonderful. That would be great. So we're writing everything up now. We're working with mental health. We have some interns coming in. So hopefully we can get our case management started. And I think really that's the basis is case management. And then we can direct it from there. So I'm really proactive, let's get things going kind of person. So a lot of talking doesn't interest me.
Yeah, you're not a meeting kind of gal,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, getting things done.
What does success look like?
Less recidivism. People not coming back to jail. People leaving our facility and leading productive lives. That, to me, is success.
Is that achievable with this?
I believe so. I honestly believe in it, and I've done enough research, and I've been reading enough and meeting with enough people that are very inspiring, that I believe that this would be very successful. My concern is getting people ready to go to the streets, back into the community, and not having the employment for them.
So is success employed regardless of where?
Yes.
Or is it success is employment here in Humboldt County or Delmar County?
Whatever makes that person's life better and make them a better productive citizen, I think that's success. Whether it's here, Delmar, another state, but they're leading lives that are a little more fulfilled than just going in and out of jail.
Reuniting families, does that factor in?
You know what? And I was actually talking about that today with someone is you know, even if we can make some person's life better, where they become a better parent, many of the people I talk to and interact with, they have 1 to 5, 7 kids. And it's sad to know that they're in jail. You know, if they could get out of jail and be at least a better parent, I would find that success.
Maybe break the cycle?
Maybe break the cycle.
Maybe break the cycle. If somebody wants more information about this or to kind of get a, are you looking for any kind of volunteers or community interaction in this? Is this more cops, social workers, we'll let you know later on when we need some help?
No, reentry program is about the community. I mean, it creates safer communities. It creates safer job for law enforcement. So once we get it going, we're going to want all the assistance, either from anybody who's voluntary, public, private entities, anything that can help us help people. So the mission, we've already been talking to them. We had a reentry fair in the jail. Lieutenant Luna, he put on this reentry fair and brought different groups into the facility to meet with inmates so they would have an idea of where some of this help is. We had the VA come in. They were great. So, yeah, no, we're all about helping the community.
And again, you're hoping July 1?
I'm hoping, but that's not my decision.
More realistically, probably later on.
Probably, yeah.
After that Measure Z money starts
Measure
flowing.
Z money is very important, yes.
Oh, boy, did she light up on that one, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well, got to end it on a positive for you.
Thanks
for coming by.
You're welcome.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Lisa Christensen. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.